begin with a prayer. Divine Mother, Heavenly Father, Friend, Beloved God, Jesus Christ, Babaji Krishna, Lahiri Mahashaya, Swami Sri Yukteswar, and our beloved Guru, Paramahansa Yogananda, saints of all religions, humbly we bow at thy feet. Divine Mother, uplift our consciousness that we may learn to serve others by channeling your love, by channeling your energy, and by channeling your spirit. Teach us to love others as you love all. Om, peace, amen. Good morning, everyone. Today I wanted to talk about the power of service and the power of seva and what that means for each one of us on the path, especially those of us living in urban communities, and particularly during a time right now in the spring of 2020, when the opportunities to serve and the needs of the masses seem so great. They're looming everywhere. We can see that opportunity to serve and the need that others are expressing. And so to really spiritualize that quality of service, what does that mean for us? And how do we navigate that living in the urban world? Last week, there was a collection of celebrities and celebrities that were all on Facebook. Facebook created what ended up being a sequence of commencement speeches from politicians, celebrities, movie stars, talk show hosts, just various people. Giving just short video clips celebrating the classes of 2020 at the high school and the college level. And it was streamed for students to celebrate and to watch together. And Oprah Winfrey, in her speech, one of the questions that she posed to the class of 2020 is, what will your essential service be? Which, of course, is a meaningful play on words right now in our current time when the term essential service is so meaningful. There are so many people on the front lines of this pandemic who are helping to keep all of us safe in just various ways and helping to keep the communal world running through mail and through package deliveries and grocery stores and healthcare workers. And so she was playing off this term of what essential service means at this time of the pandemic. And it struck me immediately. I didn't watch the commencement speeches on Facebook, but I was reading an article about it afterward. And it struck me immediately when she posed this question, what will your essential service be? She goes on to say, what really matters to you? And then she ultimately asks, how will you use what matters to you in service to yourself, your community, and the world? And it struck me because it's such a poignant question for those of us that are spiritual seekers, for those of us that are identifying with the path of yoga, to consider for ourselves. Seva, service. Seva is the Sanskrit term for service. Seva is a term we're always asking. How can I serve? How can I be of service? How can I offer myself to others? And so here is this celebrity posing that question for the world, for all of the students who are matriculating onto their next step. What really matters to you? And how will you share what matters to you with your community and with the world? And it got me thinking, as a yogi, how do we answer that question? What really matters to me? What is it that I have to share and to give? What is my essential service? What is service? There is a book that Swami Kriyananda wrote called The Promise of Immortality, and we're studying it together in a book series that we have weekly with a group of us in our community here in Palo Alto. And in this past week, we were reading from one of the chapters, and Swami Kriyananda tells an anecdote or a story of three young shepherd children in the early 1900s who were blessed with visions of the Virgin Mary. And one of their visions, Mary gives them a vision of the consciousness of hell And Swami Kriyananda goes on to describe in his story, as he's explaining this anecdote, that that vision had a deep and influential impact on particularly two of these three young children, who were a brother and a sister. And from that vision, the young child who was the sister, the young girl, she automatically felt this compassion for all of the people in the world who were suffering. And that vision helped her to express her love, or caused her to express her love, by wanting to pour herself out in service to the people of the world, in service to all those who were suffering. And the young boy, who was her brother and just a few years older than her, upon seeing this vision and being given this vision of the consciousness of hell, his expression of love turned immediately to the divine, and he felt such compassion and love for the divine and for the reality that so many beings in the world are turning themselves away from God's love. And he felt all of this compassion and sympathy for this power of love, this being that is constantly feeding grace and love and compassion to us, and so many people turning away from the divine, so many people choosing to look in other directions rather than to that place of unity and of love, which of course we know is the essence of what causes suffering every time we affirm our separateness from that divine. And what's important in this story is that Swami Kriyananda goes on to describe that it is the combination of these two attitudes that is so pleasing to God as we move and act through the world in a serviceful way. It's that combination of a longing to bring souls out of darkness, out of ego consciousness, to bring souls out of that separateness that we're all living in, and the all-encompassing love for God alone, that ultimately can dictate and move us through the path of seva, that ultimately come together to create what seva truly means. That seva is not about the actions, service is not about the actions that we're doing in the world, but it's about the consciousness that we're bringing to each one of those actions and each one of those ways that we can serve that becomes powerful and meaningful. And for those of us that are spiritual seekers, those of us that are on studying the path of yoga, what we know is that everything is about energy. Everything is about our consciousness. So the action that we're doing in the world is, of course, the grossest expression of the love that we're sharing. By grossest, I mean the firmest, the most material form of that expression. But that if our consciousness behind it isn't attuned to love, isn't attuned to the divine, then that action isn't carrying the vibration and the weight that we can offer as our essential service. That our essential service is not bound to the action or the service that we're offering in the world. It's tied to our consciousness. It's tied to the energy that we're sharing. In Swami Kriyananda's book, Affirmations for Self-Healing, which offers a weekly affirmation throughout the course of the year, one of the weeks is focused on service and on seva. And in the excerpt, or the little summary that opens this affirmation, Swami Kriyananda begins by saying, service is ennobling. And what does that term mean, ennobling? Ennobling means bringing dignity, so dignifying something, elevating something, raising something, exalting something. As we're serving, what we're looking to do, what we want to do in order to offer our essential service, in order to offer our energy into the world, is to ask the question, how can I exalt? How can I raise the energy? How can I elevate this situation, this circumstance, this person in front of me? By slowing down, attuning ourselves to the vibration of the divine, asking that question, what can I do to uplift this situation, this circumstance, this person? This is the essence of what true seva looks like. And this is the power of what we can offer. A few years ago, actually almost a decade ago now, about 8 years ago, I had the opportunity to take a group of high school students to Guatemala for 2 weeks in the summer, about 2.5 weeks actually. And the trip was focused on service. It was a service trip. And so there were 30 students total. And we worked in a number of different seva opportunities. There was an opportunity to help build a school. and an opportunity to do some reforestation where we were going out into the forest areas and cleaning up garbage and replanting trees on hillsides. And then an opportunity to serve in a hospital in the city that was refurbished to be a home for people of all ages who had mental or physical challenges and disabilities that made it so their families couldn't take care of them. So it was essentially a home or an orphanage for people to come together where they could get care and service that they needed. And so the students over the course of the 2 weeks had that opportunity to be in each of these different spaces and serve. I spent most of my time serving at the school. And so we were building the school, and the school was up on the top of this hill, and trucks couldn't come up. The roads were too narrow to come up, and so we would create what's called a fire line, where you're just standing in a really long line, and we would spend hours a day passing bricks up to the top of this hill, and then we'd get there, and people would be up there creating all of the materials. I don't actually know all the construction terms, but they would create all the materials that were needed to set the stones in place. And we would spend hours each day building the school, physically building the school, framing the doors, doing all of the things that were needed. And each day when we were at this service project, we would spend our lunch periods, we would sync our lunch break with the lunch break of the students, because there were students, we were building another building, but there were still students who were participating and who were in school every day. And so we would sync our breaks to be with them so that the high school students that we were with could go and could play and we could interact. And one of the things that we did is every day we made bean sandwiches in the morning, and we would bring refried bean sandwiches to school, just bread and refried beans, and we would share it with the children. And one day I noticed as we were handing out the sandwiches that there was a little boy who put he took his sandwich, wrapped it up in a napkin, and put it in his pocket. And so I went over and I asked him, and I said, "Aren't you hungry? Do you want to eat?" And we were corresponding in Spanish, so I was not very articulate in Spanish, and he wasn't either. But the essence of our conversation, what I understood, is he was saving the food to give to his mother, because he said that when he and his brothers and sisters are eating, his mother always served herself last, and they often didn't have enough food. So he wanted to bring the sandwich home to share with her. And so I immediately went back, we had plenty of sandwiches, and brought a whole bunch of sandwiches over and said, "Bring them home, bring them to your family, and here, eat this one." And we did, and it was a few moments, and then he ran off and went to play with someone else, and then as we were leaving, he just turned around and waved at me, and I waved back, and we went on with our day, back to building the school. And at the end of these 2 weeks, you could see the progress that we'd made. We'd built, two or three of these walls. You could actually see and feel the building. Excuse me. And there was such a sense of worldly accomplishment in that here we were at the beginning of these 2 weeks, there was nothing here, and now there is a building that you can walk into and you can stand in. And there is such power to that type of seva. But the moment that stood out the most to me in the midst of that was this small exchange that I had with this little boy. Excuse me. And it's because the power of seva, the power of service, what we can offer as our essential service, comes back to exactly what Swami Kriyananda gives us in the beginning of this affirmation when he says service is ennobling, it is exalting, it is uplifting, it is about raising energy and raising consciousness. Building that school was an important thing to do. It will have a profound impact on the lives of these children who get to come and be in that school and learn and grow and play there. But for me, in those 2 weeks, that moment that I could be with this young boy, that I could understand and feel his love, his compassion for his family, that I could build just that moment of trust and uplift in just that one brief moment, that moment of seva was so much more powerful, was so much more powerful to me than all of the moments and all of the stones that we put together one by one to build up this school. And again, don't mistake me, what the service that we do in the world is powerful. Feeding the hungry, clothing, providing clothing, shelter, comfort. These are important things for us to do in the world. Acts of seva, acts of service that open our hearts and that help us on the material plane to uplift the environments and the circumstances and the situations of the people around us, whatever it may be. Again, whether it's feeding the hungry or whether it's supporting a friend through a time of need, an emotional challenge, whatever it may be, these are important things for us to do. But what matters is our consciousness underneath it. And what matters is what we are able to express and to show through that consciousness, how we're able to offer a glimpse of the divine in every moment of service that we are giving. In that moment of service, this opportunity for this little boy to go home and to feed his mother, something that she did for him every day of her life, something that she did often at great sacrifice to herself and her own needs, that opportunity for him to go home and to be able to present that sandwich to her, to share that love, to share in that divine connection with her, that's a moment where the divine is so deeply and richly present. That is an imprint of the divine that will last much longer than the concrete blocks of a building for a school. And so what matters as we're moving through the world and asking ourselves, what is our essential service? Our essential service is that opportunity to uplift, that opportunity to bring an expression of the divine into every moment and every thought and every opportunity. You know, a few days ago, I was, about a week ago now, I was speaking with a coworker who I haven't seen in a few months now. And we often were walking buddies. We would go on hikes maybe once or twice a month together and just be in nature. And I was telling her that at this time on the walks that I've been going on, the roses have been so beautiful. The roses are just blooming in such a vibrant way, and they are just glowing right now, it feels like, in this time of April and May in 2020. And I was saying to her that roses, Paramahansa Yogananda tells us that roses offer the highest frequency and vibration of any flowers because they resonate with that vibration of the divine. And so I said to her, it was so beautiful that in this time of deep struggle on the worldly plane, that these roses are just vibrating. They're almost alive. You can feel their energy everywhere you go. And I was saying to her, it just reminds me that no matter where we turn, no matter what the circumstances look like on the outside, that God is right there smiling through every rose, that God is right there with us sharing his love and his vibration. And we spoke a little bit more, and at the end of that conversation, she said to me, she thanked me for that story about the roses, and she said, every time I go out into the world now and I see a rose, you know, she was saying, every time I go out into the world in the coming months through this pandemic, hopefully forever, she'll hold this, but she said, every time I see a rose, I'm going to think of God. And I left feeling the power of that opportunity, the power of that seva. This is the gift that we're able to offer. We can work in whatever ways our skills allow us to in the world. We can offer whatever hands-on service we are able to give, and it is a good thing to do. It is a wonderful and beautiful thing to do. But if our consciousness behind the actions that we're offering are attuned with the divine, and in every moment what we're doing is exalting the consciousness of that person in front of us, helping them to see those divine qualities in themselves or to remember the divine, it is such a powerful gift. It's the most precious gift that we can share, to know God and to share God, just as Swami Kriyananda tells us in this story. The way to serve that is most pleasing to God is to share, pour our hearts out in a desire and a longing to bring all souls to God, while deeply attuned to that all-encompassing, all-consuming, all-knowing love of God alone. That when we express ourselves by sharing the divine in every moment, it doesn't matter what the outer expression of that is, it matters the intention and the energy behind it. So the seva that can be offered by my friend thinking of God every time she sees a rose, it's just as powerful as building a school. It's just as powerful as helping a friend who is going through a hard time and counseling and sharing and comforting them. That these moments when we can offer somebody else an opportunity to attune to the divine, to uplift their consciousness, to invite God into the moment, God is everywhere just waiting to share his love with us. And anytime we can exalt, uplift, raise, ennoble another human being, another consciousness to feel that and to receive that, then we're doing an essential service to the world. We're bringing light into the world. And so I'll end with one more story today, just to share the power of this and to really understand the subtle difference between serving in the world. Serving, as I've said, is a beautiful thing to do. And it is magnified when we bring God's intention into it. Mother Teresa is a perfect example of this, who says, do small things with great love, who, when asked why she serves, what she receives from it, what she's doing, what she feels in that service, she simply says, I do it because Christ asks me to. That the only thing flowing through her, there's no ego, there's no need, there's no identity with the need to serve in the way that she is. She's doing what her guru, what her teacher has asked her to do. She's doing what God has inspired her to do. And when we serve in that way, the power is limitless. A few days ago, I was having a conversation with a friend about ways that I can help him to serve in a program that he's working on and that will continue through the next year. And in that conversation, I said to my friend, what would your ideal for being be? What would you like me to do? And he told me, and I came back and was talking a little bit about what I think I can do, where my skills could best be utilized. And we were working on finding a balance and a compromise between them. And I was speaking with one of my teachers after that about that experience and how I was saying, well, I have all of these skills that are going to be really useful in this way. And my friend wants me to be doing this, but I think I would be most efficiently useful and my energy and all of these things can be used really well if I'm working in this way, because that's what my skills are trained to do. And what my teacher pointed out to me is that sometimes it's not about the skill that we can offer, but it's about the way that we can offer our energy, that we can offer that opportunity, as I've been saying, to uplift. And so it's a perfect example. You know, I don't know how the story ends because we're still in the midst of it, but it was such a perfect example of everything that we've been talking about today, to take a step back and say, it's not always how I can act most efficiently, but it's how I can share God most openly, in every circumstance and in every situation. So as we stop and ask ourselves that question, what is my essential service? What matters most to me? And how can I share that with myself, with my community, with the world? Consider the power that you have to transform the consciousness of everyone around you, of every circumstance around you. Consider the power that you have to invite the divine into every single circumstance. And the ability of that consciousness, of that invitation, to completely transform every atom of our creation, every circumstance, every situation, everything that we know. The divine has limitless power. And as we invite the divine in, that power grows and expands.